everyone. This is Million the Monster. I'm Dax, and today we have two very special guests. One not so special, Ryan not being very special, and our other very special guest, RPG.
Hey.
Awesome. Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. Thanks for coming.
Even more thanks for coming, yeah.
Wait. So what is the your favorite fighting game?
My favorite fighting game is Skullgirls. Launch party all day, every day. That game is unbelievably good. It was robbed a million times for its Evo spotlight. It came out in, 2012, and it's still getting new characters, to this day. So, yeah, it plays a lot like Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which might be my favorite fighting game of all time way back when. It holds a lot of important nostalgia for me, and it's the only fighting game that plays like it. So I could play Skullgirls forever, and people should play more of it.
Okay, nice. I sadly haven't picked that one up. I do know the Marvel versus Capcom 2, which leads me to ask you: were you a cable asshole?
No, I was not a cable asshole. I was, however, a Strider Doom Sentinel asshole.
All right. Fair enough.
I was one of those guys who just popped Ouroboros over and over and over again and kept you on block the entire game. So
chip.
Yeah, it was unfair. I got really excited when they made the new ratio rules, though, and now my main team with ratio rules is Jin, Hulk, and Juggernaut.
Oh, dude, Juggernaut was always my dude.
It's so great.
Yeah, I think... At least in the arcade version, I know there was that glitch where you could power up and then hop out, and then
Power up. The Jugs glitch. It was great. Yeah. It made his dash punch assist one of the best assists in the game.
Yes, when you landed that, it felt just
it was just fantastic. Perfect. It had a million hits of armor, and it took off a quarter of the opponent's health in one hit. Right. It was so unfair. It was fantastic.
Yeah, man, that. Marvel vs. Capcom 2 kind of set the bar for Juggernaut for me. So, once you saw the movies that came out after that, and seeing the Juggernaut there was very disappointing.
Yeah,
super disappointing.
Well, he was just the meme, in the movies.
Oh yeah, the one where he has the Australian guy. I forget what the hell his name was, but he was tiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he said, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch," which was based on a viral video at the time that, I liked the viral video, but that was the entirety of his character.
Must not know who I am.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. That was great.
Oh man, but so. I know you like to be called RPG, or...
I go by my life as an RPG. That's been my gaming tag since I was in fifth grade.
Nice.
And I haven't really changed it until, today when I'm 37. So that's just kind of how it works. So most people in the fighting game community and people on TikTok know me as my life as an RPG. But that's a mouthful, so they say RPG, for short.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So nothing to do with rocket-propelled grenades?
It depends on what RPG you're playing.
Oh.
Nice.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think with gamer tag things, that I feel like if you had an Xbox, whatever you chose for that, that's just what you are for the rest of your life, right?
I mean, kind of. So mine actually was an AOL screen name.
Oh, really?
Nice.
And there's an interesting story behind it. It's the second screen name I ever had, because my first screen name was something super dark and stupid edgy because I was a shit-faced teenager.
Or were you Shadow Wolf XX?
Yeah, Dark Side 0XS, something like that. Yeah. So I had that, but that was partially because, it was I want this screen name, and I was on old ass dial up, and it's you can't have that. Add numbers. You can't have that. Add numbers. You can't have that. Add numbers. And in middle school, I was in middle school at the time, we were doing a project in English class where we had to compare our lives to a different form of media. And so a lot of people were doing it my life is a stage play. My life is punk music or something like that. And I did my life is an RPG. And later that day, when I came home, I wanted to change my name because I was so upset about the dumbass extra letters I had to add. So I put in my life is an RPG, And it's just unique enough that I never have to add anything extra to it. And so I've just kept it since then.
Nice. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've got a similar story for choosing the... I always went by Clever Stupidity. And Ryan, what's your name that you went by? You're always The Conflict, right?
The Conflict, yeah.
Talk about edgy, right?
That was my rap name. I used to rap back in the day.
Nice.
Do you still have any recordings of that?
No. So here's the funny thing about that is I was going to comment on us being old and still remembering dial up and all that shit. And then to make it even worse, no, the recordings that I did do disappeared because they were on my MySpace page.
Were you still friends with Tom?
Yes, you had to be friends with Tom. I want to be friends with Tom right now.
My God, you're telling me that MySpace shut down, or what happened?
No, well, it's still there. He's planning the downfall of Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook.
Okay.
Right, the resistance will rise.
Yeah, yeah. playing the long game. Oh, God.
He's luring him into a false sense of security, and then he's going to strike.
Yeah. I mean, for you guys, at least, okay, you were a rapper, or wanted to be.
Fuck you.
Zing. But and you had your English project. Me, I was just listening to a song and misheard some lyrics. Right, because it was like I forget what the hell the name of the song is. It's terrible, but it was like nothing lasts forever when stupid turns to clever. How it feels from the other side. That's the only lyrics I remember from that, and I was like, clever stupidity. Oh, that sounds cool. And then that was it.
One of us are gonna have to look that up now. Yeah, figure out where it came from.
Oh God, I'm gonna be embarrassed. What is it? And I'll look it up. Nothing lasts forever when stupid turns to clever.
That sounds familiar.
Little Know It All by Iggy Pop. So there you go. I just will probably listen to that on the radio in the back of my mom's car going home one day. It just stuck, and then I came home and was like, well, this is what I'm going to call myself forever now.
So that's kind of nothing lasts forever except my screen name. That's going to last forever.
Yeah, exactly. Forever and ever. Okay, so we've completely derailed off of what we were talking about earlier, fighting games. And I'm going to keep that derailing going by asking you a question that I think I'm going to ask every guest we have from now on.
Sounds good.
Alvin and the Chipmunks and the Chipmunkettes. Who you smashing, who you passing?
Oh, okay, hold on. I need to remember their names. Hold on.
Alvin, Simon,
I remember
and Theodore.
Alvin, Simon, Theodore, but I need to remember the Chipettes.
Yeah, I was actually looking.
Yeah.
I think it was like Eleanor.
But there's four of them? Hold on.
What?
I thought there was three.
There's Brittany, Jeanette, Eleanor, and Miss Beatrice.
Miss Beatrice?
Miss Beatrice is like their cat.
So let's see. Elderly, eccentric friend of Dave and the Chipmunks became the adoptive mother of the Chipettes in the television series.
Okay.
Ditzy and talkative, but supporting and loving to the Chipettes. Also featured in the Chipette adventure film as a babysitter. Cool. All right.
Well, that's who I'm smashing right there.
I mean, possibly. I mean, like, let's see what we did.
Oh, man.
I mean, okay. So first of all, I can't deal with Alvin Pass. Simon's a call. Yeah, I'd probably smash Simon.
Right.
Theodore is kind of a coin flip. Don't know how I'd feel about that.
I think he would be a sensitive lover. He's really like, he was always the emotional, like, caring type of the group, right?
Right. Well, okay. You asked smash or pass. You did not ask who do I want to get into a loving relationship with.
Okay.
Those are two different things.
Fair.
You know, like, I do feel like he might be one of the most emotionally intelligent chipmunks. But I also feel like as a one night stand might be boring in bed. Just saying.
Well, you got to also take into account he's a food guy, so it's like you have the night in bed. In the morning, he's got pancakes and bacon.
That is true.
All that going.
But I'm usually the cook when it comes to that situation.
Okay.
See, so, not only that, though, you have to also remember you've never been eaten until you've been eaten by somebody who likes to eat. You're welcome.
Speaking of, are we including Dave? Are we including Dave in this?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Because I am totally smashing Dave. Okay. Like, I am smashing Dave because I think it would make him feel worse about himself.
What type of sick power move is that?
I'm just saying, like, Dave, in all of the iterations of the Chipmunks, Dave was always just the guy who ended up in the bad situations that the Chipmunks had to solve. So I feel like that, whatever situation in which I am smashing Dave, sets up for another Alvin in the Chipmunks episode, and that's what I want to see.
That could be it.
As far as the Chibettes go, we've already confirmed that I am smashing Miss Beatrice because we just figured out she exists.
Right.
And I feel like you get a pop into existence bonus, so definitely smash. Yeah. Jeanette, I am absolutely smashing. I kind of had a crush on her even when I was a kid.
Everyone has a crush on Jeanette.
She's great. She's so cute. She's like soft smoking but super intelligent. Also, she only sang the good songs. Like, I mean, she was great. She was by far the best Chipette. Okay. I feel like I would feel bad about myself if I smashed Brittany. Like, she is the furthest thing from a personality that I actually want.
Really?
And I don't vibe with the Valley Girl stereotype, like, at all.
Yeah, like, that was really what she was.
Yeah. Wasn't it? It was just too much. She had that 80s girl sort of, like, you know, shin warmer, you know, knee socks, pink everything, you know, like perky ponytail situation, and it just, not for me. Okay. And I would absolutely smash Eleanor. I feel like Eleanor would, first of all, like, Eleanor is the most reserved Chipette, you know that she's absolutely wild in the sack. Second of all, I feel like there's just nothing at all, like no negative parts there, you know? Like, she was the most rational one. She was the one that actually had her, I can't believe I'm remembering this, like, back in the old animated show, she had, like, solo episodes where she ends up, like, being the kind of bad goth girl stereotype for a second. And I thought that was really cool, you know? So, no, she's absolute.
Yeah, she's also got the pigtails. And
yeah.
Now that we're thinking about this, like, she has major, like, bubbles from Powerpuff Girls vibes going on, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we all know that Bubbles is obviously the most powerful Powerpuff Girl.
Right. So, she most definitely is. I was trying to think, the Powerpuff Girls and the Chipettes, they, like, match up, but they don't really. Like, the Powerpuff Girls, like, combined Brittany and what is her name? Jeanette,
yeah.
Yeah, they, like, combined her together to have, like, the leader but also kind of smart type. And then you got the Edgelord.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What was her name?
What, Bubbles, Blossom, and Buttercup?
Yeah, that's it.
Buttercup was the Edgelord.
Yeah, Buttercup was the green one, right?
Yeah, the green one. Which, okay, by the way, that was all a front. There was explicitly an episode where the scary one was Bubbles. Like, the one episode where, like, Buttercup talks Bubbles into, like, actually becoming violent. The problem was she became too violent to stop.
Yeah, that's where she was, like, beating the crap out of that dog, right?
Yeah.
God, that was a great episode. And then there was but the all-time best episode is with him.
Yeah. Right?
Where they go into the future.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was fucking badass.
That was great. Yeah. The Powerpuff Girls is an underrated show.
Hell yeah.
Like, everything from that age of Cartoon Network was fantastic.
Absolutely. And to real quick throwback here, we have Dave or Professor X?
Oh, which one's better? Definitely.
Wait, not Professor. Is it Professor X? Is that his name?
No, it's not. It's not. It's Professor Utonium. It's not.
Oh, yeah. God. I'm getting sorry.
It was Chemical X is what he used.
Yeah. Which, right, by the way, originally was not called Chemical X. I don't know if you know this. It was originally called Whoop-Ass.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah. Accidentally dropped a can of Whoop-Ass in there. But they said that that would be too much for, you know, the young audience they were going for. So they renamed it Chemical X.
Well, after Kick-Ass, they threw around methamphetamine, crank, you know, a few things. But eventually they settled on Chemical X.
It's so funny. They said that was too intense for kids. And then we had shit like fucking Freakazoid and Animaniacs doing all their shit they did.
Freakazoid is a fucking treasure, I'll tell you. Yes. That was before its time. Like, the only reason that didn't get more seasons is because it's using the humor that we laugh at now, and it was doing that back in the 90s.
I was laughing then, though.
I was, too! Go ahead.
Freakazoid, it only has, how many episodes?
Not many. It was, a season or two.
Yeah. It felt like barely a season, but it left such a strong, mark on you that I'll completely remember, because I've watched seasons of other bullshit and don't remember any of it at all. But Freakazoid is instantly pops in.
Yep.
And the mom walking into the room and being like, "What are you spending all this time on the internet? That sounds like a very sad, sad life." And then just walks out.
I remember all the bits with Cosgrove, "Hey, Freakazoid, want to go see a tiny bear in a hat riding a motorcycle?"
Yes.
Do I?
God, I forgot about that. He was always eating a sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Because he liked meat. That was his thing.
That was his thing. You know, Cosgrove, you could be married and also like meat. Huh, I never thought of that.
Married and also like meat. Oh, I remember that line. God. Oh, wait. So has there, since you're our fighting guy expert right now, mm-hmm. has there been any good fighting games out of Cartoon Network?
No, unfortunately. So here's the thing. Every single cartoon franchise tried to make a Smash Brothers style game.
Yeah.
And none of them were as good as Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers just drank all their milkshakes. And I mean, now things might be different because Smash is over. Nintendo has said no more Smash. We're not planning to do anymore. Hmm. So, Multiverses is coming out. So that's going to be the big thing.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you guys heard of that?
Well, I've heard a little bit, but for our viewers and for better information, go ahead.
All right. Multiverses is going to be a Smash Brothers style game that is built for 2v2 team play. And it is using the Warner Brothers catalog. Okay. And here's the thing. No one really understands how big the Warner Brothers catalog is. It's humongous. So, characters that are going to be in it include Superman and Batman, Bugs Bunny, Harry Potter, Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, Mad Max.
Okay.
God, I need to look up the rest of the roster. Finn and Jake from from Adventure Time.
Do I get to play as a kids WB frog?
I don't think so. But you might get to play as Freakazoid. They did say that they were considering that.
The Animaniacs is Warner Brothers.
The Animaniacs, yeah. Let me actually really quickly look this up. Hold on. The most important one. Ultra Instinct Shaggy is going to be in there.
Oh, hell yeah.
if you see, the trailer, he's got the whole Dragon Ball Z aura and all of that.
That's awesome.
Arya Stark from Game of Thrones.
She was probably my favorite.
Harley Quinn, Steven Universe, Tom and Jerry, Velma from Scooby-Doo, the Joker, Taz, Marvin the Martian, LeBron James is going to be in there.
Because of Space Jam.
Because of Space Jam.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So is Michael Jordan in there?
No, Michael Jordan is not in there. They couldn't get the rights. Fred Flintstone, Rick from Rick and Morty. Both Rick and Morty are going to be in there. Johnny Bravo, Ben 10, King Kong and Godzilla, Scorpion and Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat. Like, this is the thing. This is the thing. Oh, Gizmo from Gremlins. Like, this game is absurd. This roster is absolutely absurd. And it's going to be free to play. And it's going to use kind of like a MOBA style pricing scheme where it's like a couple of the characters are going to be free like every week. And if you want to keep one, you buy that character.
And it's launching this year.
Yeah, like League of Legends style.
All
right. And it's launching this year. And it's trying to be the next Smash Brothers. And it does look pretty cool. Oh, also Neo from The Matrix.
All right. Well, part of me like that sounds amazing, but also part of me is really kind of I got this situation in my head where as soon as that game comes out, there's gonna be some poor son of a bitch who writes out like a 30-page report on tier list of, you know, why Gizmo is better than Gandalf.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't wait for that to happen. Because, like, when people do that in other fighting games, you just sort of look at it and you're like, okay. But, like, think about the sentences that you're going to hear. Right. You know? Like, think about someone saying, it's like, well, Gandalf would be top tier, but his you shall not pass can't actually hit Bugs Bunny's frames, hitbox. Yeah, you know? Like... Bugs Bunny's carrot drop starts in 5 frames. Like, you know, like, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Just reading that. That should be its own college course.
It really should. It really, really should.
Man, yeah, because I just like reading some of the older fighting games, like how in-depth they really get with everything. Is super amazing, and those are usually much more limited by, you know, the technology at the time and what they could fit into whatever. And now you fucking new games are like, this is 100 fucking gigabytes, prepare your hard drive.
So here's the funny thing. You'd think that, but old games are weirder because old games are jankier. Like, we didn't know what we were doing way back in the day. Like, Street Fighter 2 has so many weird things. Like, Street Fighter 2, there's a 1 in 512 chance that if you press a button, you'll use a random special move for no good reason.
Oh. That is very statistically going to happen within, like, a game or two.
That is exactly what's supposed to happen. And, like, on a professional level, everyone hates that because it's like you don't have control of your character. But the reason why this was done was that if you were in an arcade and just mashing buttons against your friend, every so often one of you would throw this move that none of you had any idea about. And then you'd start trying to figure out how to do it on purpose. And that's why it was designed that way. You could never get away with that in, like, modern day design, but that's how it worked back then.
Your Ultra Instinct button.
Yeah, basically. Same deal. Like, there was a random chance for you to block if you weren't blocking, and there's a random chance for something to go through a block if you were blocking. So if you were ever playing Street Fighter 2 and you complained I was blocking that, you might have actually been blocking that, because game will randomly drop your block.
So many times.
That's amazing. More games should do that. That gives you an out. I don't fuck. The game's broken.
So, not to, you know, beat off the drum of my favorite game here. Yeah, not to vigorously masturbate my favorite fighting game here. But Skullgirls actually has a mechanic like that. Skullgirls has a meter that fills as you get your ass beat. And basically, this ass beat meter, if it fills all the way up, you get to just, no matter what is happening, press a button and push the opponent off you all the way across the stage, even if you're being hit. So the way that the game measures that is, it basically, you have to try and be aggressive and then back off to let that meter refresh. So you have to give your opponent time to do something. And that's what the core gameplay loop is about.
That's pretty interesting. Okay. It's not like the other games where you can just juggle somebody in the corner the whole time and then...
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. Even if you get into, like, a short juggle, then it will start being like, actually, hey, no, go fuck yourself. You know?
That sounds, yeah, very, like, JoJo-like, you know, where it's just like, come in here, let me whoop your ass, and then I'll hop back, and then exposition. You see, I whooped your ass because I did this thing and that thing, and now I'm going to go over there and whoop your ass again.
It's a little JoJo-like. It's just, imagine you increase the speed of JoJo, like, by 100%, you know? And it's like that. It's very fast, because, like, once you start getting the high levels of play in Skullgirls, like, you watch that bar, and then you try and figure out when the opponent is going to do the the pushback to push you off them, and you can bait that out and dodge it. And then that allows you to stay in, but then you could bait their bait and then get, you know, momentum back. And it's just lots and lots of mind games.
Oh, so let me go back to middle school here. So it sounds like in order to play this game, you need to be a masturbator.
Yes, just grab the dick of the game and stroke it up and down furiously until it comes strategy in your face, I think is what I'm saying.
Perfect. Skullgirls, come strategy on your face.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like that.
Oh, man.
I mean, people often criticize it for being a quote-unquote waifu game, so, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. Might go check that out.
Yeah, just because, you know, I hop on the sticks and beat you doesn't mean I'm going to hop off and not beat my stick, you know? Two birds, one stone.
It's got waifus for everyone, every sort of person you want. It's got, you know, the normal girls, the monster girls. It's got pro wrestlers. It's got a severely maimed private eye. There's a lot of stuff, you know? Everyone's taste.
Severely maimed private eye. Did the circumcision go wrong? What happened?
I was gonna say that's my porn name.
So his name is Big Band, and he is in an iron lung that also has a bunch of weaponry that is made out of orchestra instruments.
Oh, nice. So I just Google searched Skullgirls and just scrolled down, and there's already a picture where they have to cover up some titties.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's just the only thing you get when you Google Skullgirls is like heavily ultra sweaty strategy information and flat out porn. That's all you ever get.
That sounds like a perfect, perfect harmony.
Yeah, those are the only two things you ever need.
Right. Oh, man. I may be busy here for a second, guys. I got things to do.
Ignore that sound you're about to hear.
Yeah. It'll only be there for about 30 seconds, so it's all good.
I'm just happy you guys asked me an easy question like smash or pass on the Chipmunks and Chipettes. Like, last discussion I was having with my friends, we were talking about smash or pass for all the Elden Ring bosses.
So, oh, yeah. I haven't gotten into the Elden Ring. I'm thinking about it, but I like the Souls games to a point, but you know, it feels like sometimes it's I was blocking, but I got hit anyway, you know. Can you do the deep dive on Elden Rings? Is it a 1 in 500 chance that the boss just cheated me to death?
Oh, well, I mean, you should just do what I do and cheat like crazy. Oh. Like, you know, between you and me and my 58,000 followers on TikTok, I played through, you know, the Dark Souls games by using, like, trainers and cheat engine because I have, like, stuff I have to do. So, so, like, I have no problem being like, actually, that didn't happen. Reset back to the beginning of the fight, we're just going to do that again with no penalty. Thank you very much.
Right, it's a single player game. You should be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I fully believe that if it's a single player game, cheat as much as you want. Go crazy. Right. You know? Like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as having a Game Genie back in the day. You know?
Oh my
like,
god. Game Genie, Game Shark.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just... The Game Genie was the the only way I could play the Dragon Ball Z fighting games.
Oh, yeah. Man. Those were old school.
Yeah.
The old, because... Super Nintendo ones?
No. I'm talking about the PlayStation.
With the disc swap. The disc swap method.
You had the disc swap, and there was also like that weird little butthole button that you had to get a spring that you had to physically push down and everything.
Yep,
and have the Game Shark game to play that. Oh man.
Final Bout.
Yeah.
Final Bout.
That was the day. That was the old day of the importing. I remember that. When you didn't want to open up your console and mod it that way.
Yep.
Well, because at that point you were like fucking 12 or 13 and like,
right, yeah.
If I break this super expensive thing, my mom's gonna whoop my ass. So.
That was also the day when like you could still go into like a GameStop and pick up, you know, this back of the model mod chip, you know?
Yeah. Right.
You can't do that today. Like GameStop would get their ass sued.
Oh man. Yeah.
I run into cool stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Run.
Oh, I just run into cool stuff. I don't know if you have cool stuff over there.
And... Oh yeah. I'm trying to remember the other ones. Babbage's.
Yeah.
EB Games.
EB Games they were bought by GameStop.
Yeah, they were bought by GameStop. Funko Land, that was another one.
Oh my god, that was the first one I ever saw was Funko Land.
Yeah.
I bought my Dreamcast and Resident Evil Code Veronica from Funko Land.
Oh man.
Jesus.
Core memories.
Funko Land was some of the best and worst times because like Funko Land was where I got some of like my favorite games. Like it was where I got my copy of Suikoden 2. At the same time, it's also where my parents fucking sold my old NES and all my games for it. mine. I mean, of course they bought it because I was like five, but like, you know, Super Nintendo came out and I started getting games and they were like, well, now that this new thing's out, why do we need the old thing? Let's get some money back. And so I never saw those games ever again.
You don't know what damage you've done. If you just waited like 20 years, it'd be worth like $300.
You have no idea. I had some incredible games on there. Like I had Guerrilla Warfare. I had a bunch of light gun games. I also had shit games. I had Fester's Quest. I remember that.
Fester's Quest, oh God. You kind of hit me with that. Well, there's this new thing. Why do we need this old thing? By the way, your mom's got a new baby on the way.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. Like that was around the time that my mom got pregnant with my sister. That was also the time.
I'm ringing true.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have a brother and a sister, and we're all 3 years apart. And like. Oh, it would always be around that time. It would be like, hey, we had to sell a bunch of your shit, you know?
Oh, man. Oh, that's rough. I come from a big family, too. I actually have three brothers and three sisters.
Mm.
So I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got siblings. I have one brother and three older sisters, but I'm the youngest. So I think I was the one everybody was selling shit for.
I was the oldest, so I was the trial and error kid, you know, right. That my parents could just fuck up like all the shit for, and then they would be like, "Hey, remember how we fucked up that one kid? Let's not do that for the rest of our kids."
Yeah. So we found out that the maximum safe height for dropping a kid is about 4 feet, so we'll keep it under that and we'll be good.
Yeah, when I was a kid, like my grandpa or like hit me in the head with a golf club by accident, it was just crazy. It's crazy because like a lot of people are like, oh my god, and I'm like, no, I was the trial and error kid, you know.
I've heard a lot of like the trial and error kid and all that, but try being the fifth kid where it's like you've been gone outside of the house all day. Cause back then it was like, I don't know about everybody else's parents. Mine were like, no, you're not staying in the house all day long. It's a nice day. Get the fuck out. I'm doing cleaning or whatever the hell. And you're bothering me. So I got sent outside and it's like, yeah, just come back with the streetlights. Come on. And you know, don't get kidnapped or anything like that, and you'll be fine.
I've heard that, you know, once you get past kid three, the concept of parenting has gone out the window. Like, you're not, there's not even parenting. It's just like, go exist and don't die, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, like, all pretense of effort has gone away.
Like, the other one survived with everything we did. You'll be fine. If not, we have replacements.
It's okay. Right? No, it's exactly like that mother turtle, like having the baby turtles like go out to sea, and like maybe some of them get like killed by birds of prey. You know, it's like, ah, some will reach the sea. We're fine.
Oh man, some will reach the sea. I like that.
Yeah, the sea being functional adulthood, you know, I mean, right? Says me. I mean, I'm barely a functional adult. I don't know about you guys.
No, man. I ran away to Japan, so I mean, fuck it. That's how I dealt with things. But yeah, you got hit in the head by a golf club. I got thrown out the window by my sister.
Damn.
Yeah. So I feel you. How about you, Ryan? What was your you got anything to share there?
My sister threw a coloring book at my face when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. You really don't have anything better than that?
A coloring book? Come on,
so,
man.
Full disclosure, I was the fifth, so I had to fight for survival the whole time. So I was a scrappy little bastard. I have a distinct memory that me and my mother were actually just talking about yesterday, where I was chasing, like, I don't know any context. The memory just comes online of me chasing my sister with like one of those old school fat plastic baseball bats. Mm-hmm. And I'm chasing her down the hallway, and I was just full on like war. Like, ah! And she like slammed her bedroom door, and I bashed that shit through the door. And I remember her face on the other side being like, ooh, dad!
You bashed a plastic bat through a door?
Okay, wait, hold on. Are you sure that this is your memory, and are you sure this isn't The Shining?
Right? And again, plastic bat. Are you sure you weren't in Japan with the fucking rice paper doors? What the fuck, man?
I've always been a little bit of beastly, I guess. But no, but my mom was just laughing about it the other day. She was like, oh, my dad was so pissed. And
I'd be pissed too, because I don't understand how that works physically. Yeah. Like, how do you manage to smash a plastic wiffle ball bat through a wall?
All I gotta say is thank God I didn't catch my sister, because man, I don't know what she did to piss me off.
it's impressive. What can I say? It's very impressive.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
The destructive one.
Your father might have been angry because he bought that door and he was like, what the fuck? Where did I buy this cheap ass material from? Oh, geez.
Yeah, no, yeah, no, nobody. I don't remember anything. Most of the damage I took when I was younger was from fighting growing up, or from me doing stupid shit like climbing trees and then falling like two or three stories down.
Mm. Well,
and like that's like, it just, to think back about childhood and all the shit that we used to do, it's like, how the fuck do we even survive? Like, because I
don't know.
So many roofs,
I'm half
trees.
Dead. I don't know about you guys, but like, yeah. I remember the first time I broke a bone. I was on the jungle gym, just like, and like randomly at the park, you know, and I fell down and, you know, broke the shit out of my arm, and like, whose idea was that was, you know, a good thing, you know? It's like, oh, the best thing, the best way that kids can play is unsupervised on a curved, jagged metal structure where they hang on for dear life. And if they fail, they just get injured, and that's what happens.
Well, and then plus, those hot-ass metal slides?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Plus, it's all metal, and like at one point they had paint on it, but the paint is long gone, and
oh,
it's
yeah.
Just rust.
Just cutting your hands on the rust. Remember the roundabouts, the like merry-go wheels, where like,
yeah. Oh yeah,
you used your own momentum to spin them, and they're like creaking, and there are metal shards flying off.
I just always remember like smelling my hands afterwards. It smelled like blood. Because of like that irony, rusty tang on there. It was always like, that smells like, am I bleeding? What?
And that's the thing, you couldn't tell. It was either your blood or it was the metal, you know, it, you know, possibly both. Who knew?
Or the homeless guy who's around there.
Who was sleeping like 2 feet from there.
Yeah.
He's an older homeless guy. He uses that his pull-up thing.
I remember like seesaws, like pre-plastic seesaws, the metal seesaws. And like the idea was you were supposed to sit on them and go up and down. But the game was, let's see how we could use this to injure ourselves.
Yeah, like you want to, how high can I launch my friend?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you climb up the jumble gym. Jump off onto the seesaw. Let's see how high we can go.
Yeah. We were just, then that's the thing. Like this was before we had, you know, our fancy video games. So we just got bored enough that we were like, let's see how much punishment our body could take. Why not? Right. We heal, you know?
And then Jackass took that to the extreme.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. I have an inordinate amount of respect for the people who do Jackass. Like I'm on TikTok. I do a lot of this like intelligent science content and bullshit like that. But like Jackass is my guilty pleasure movie because here's the thing. Nobody who does Jackass needs to do Jackass.
Right.
They do their interviews and they're like, oh yeah, I have this family. I have this other job. You know, I'm basically all, you know, set. You know, I have a stable life. They're not doing this because they desperately need the money and this is going to give them the money. They're doing this because they want to do this because they are now literally in their mid 50s and 60s. And they're going, man, you know what would be great? If Steve-O got his nuts bit off by a crocodile again, that would be fantastic. Again. And then Steve-O goes, do I? Yeah, like, that's like, they're doing it because they like it. This is how they bond with people. And I'm like, fair enough, you know? I can't say anything against that, you know?
Fucking Steve-O, man.
Oh, yeah, Steve-O. I remember watching, like, the original ones and seeing Bam Margera's house. Oh.
Yeah.
And being like, why are you doing this, man? Look at the place you live in. You have this huge fucking house and all this nice shit. And you're like, he was a skating star at the time or a skateboarder at the time and everything. And I was generally confused because, yeah, my early thoughts on these guys were, oh, these are dudes that are like almost homeless. But they have a camcorder and they're getting famous off of it. And then it was like, yeah, Steve-O's parents was like owned Campbell's or some shit.
Yeah, and like none of these guys needed to do it. And like the funny thing is like, you know, like way back when they had problems with drugs. And that's one of the reasons why Bam Margera doesn't show up anymore. You know, he didn't clean up while everyone else did. Right. And like, so like if you really go into like the stories of these people's lives, it's really inspirational, you know, how it's like they had they dealt with problems with abuse. They dealt with problems with drug addiction. They dealt with problems with gambling addiction. You know, different people had their different devils, you know. They had, you know, dysfunctional relationships with their family. And this is pre-Jackass, right?
Right.
And they got through all of this. And they all, you know, worked on themselves and made themselves better people. And that all like happens off screen in like this other timeline, and then on screen it's just, oh, and we just so happen to shoot ourselves in the nuts with paintball guns whenever we have right. a free moment. Like, they're totally unconnected. It's really weird.
Like I like to think of the Wikipedia, like looking through that, and it's like, you know, starts early life, family troubles, left nut destroyed, redemption, drug abuse, right nut destroyed. Yeah. The comeback, the orphanage. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so bizarre and I love every single second of it. And like, I can't help but admit that when I watch those movies, I laugh my fucking ass off.
Oh yeah.
Like, every single one of my friends is like, come on, aren't you bigger than this? And I'm like, no, do you know me? Of course I'm not bigger than this.
There is something monkey brain about that is just like beyond our control to just
right.
see someone get like kicked in the nuts. And it's just like, that shit is funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not us.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I used to feel bad about it until I realized that they weren't doing this because they needed the money. Like, if they were doing this because they needed the money, I was like, oh, this is like, this is essentially people being taken advantage of because they're desperate. But no, now that I know that they didn't need the money, now that I know that they have their lives, like, and they have, like, wives and children, you know, and, like, productive lives that they're happy about, and they're doing this just cause, I don't have that weighing on my conscience anymore. These aren't people being abused by, like, some awful, you know, like, crazy money-making media corporation that's like, we're gonna make money, you know, at the expense of these kids' bodies. No, these are basically people who would do this anyway, and they're like, fuck it, why not film it?
You found out it's not Squid Games.
Yeah, no, it's not Squid Games. It's like dumber Squid Games. Like, there's no prize. They're doing it like someone's running from a bear just because they can, you know?
That's why I always do background checks on my prostitutes. I don't want them to need the money. I just want them to want to choke on my dick. That's all, you know.
The funny thing is that, like, you're saying that, but that's like that's genuinely the sentiment behind, like, all the safe prostitution legislation that, like, comes out of Vegas. It's absolutely. It's like, it's unethical if someone is doing this because they're being forced to do it. But if someone chooses to do this, there's no reason why two consenting adults shouldn't be able to do this. So, like, that's the exact sentiment. Like, it's difficult if you're forcing someone, and there's genuinely nothing wrong if you're not, you know, as long as everyone's being taken care of and everything's above board, all the money's going to the right places, no one's getting physically abused, you know.
Unless they want to.
I agree with that, but then you kind of run into a problem, though, of, you know, everyone needs money, right?
Yeah. And, well, I mean, that's where the legislation, you know, gets a little muddy, and it's like, you know, what how do you do that? How do you keep track
because
of that?
I don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
I'm being forced into that, but it's because I need money.
Yeah.
So it's like, at what point do women have, like, is that choice just too good and they're forced into it because other options aren't available?
I mean, that's a sticky situation, you know? Like, I don't pretend...
I see what you did there. Nice. Oh, sorry.
I genuinely don't pretend to have the answer for shit like that, you know? Like that's... unfortunately, things aren't easy in black and white like that. I mean, I know that I've made my money reviewing video games, and now I'm making money off of TikTok. So what the fuck do I know? You know,
I thought you were about to have a prostitution, thing going on. I was like, whoa, I mean, we're about to get deep. Let's go for it.
Here's the thing. If that was a thing I realistically could do, which I can't, I might, but like,
right. I'm right there with you.
You know, like if you could guarantee my safety, you know,
right?
And like, I know it wouldn't always be with people who I wanted it to be with, but like, if you could guarantee my safety, guarantee that everything was consensual, you know, that is, you know, a thing that I would not have a moral qualm with doing personally. In fact it's almost, in my opinion, like, you know, better for me, you know, because like, I can't get pregnant, you know.
Right.
Like, I can't, like my life can't be suddenly and irrevocably changed as long as I'm, you know, because of some random fuck up like that, you
right,
know?
Right, right, right.
Like, I just need to be really, really safe. And then, yeah, maybe I could get someone else pregnant, but, like, the whole idea is that that's the thing that's supposed to be handled by whatever place I'm working out of, if it was all above board, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't, like, me doing random shit on a street corner, you know?
Ooh. but then it's just not as hot.
Right, obviously. No, it needs to be black and white, film grain. I'm in like a sexy dress, you know, smoking a cigarette out of one of those cigarette holders.
Light rain.
Yeah.
Waiting for someone in a tan trench coat, you know, to come up, you know, ask me what I'm doing, asking what someone like me is doing out here in a night like this,
right.
You know. and then kick off a whole noir franchise. Like, that's
perfect. I'll tell you my three rules for prostitution here. Safety is very good. Money is very good, and they have to be hot. So I'm a little bit, that
is why I said it is unrealistic for me to actually go into this profession. So instead, I'm whoring myself out on TikTok, which is pretty much the same thing.
Right. I've been looking into it. I want to sell pictures of my feet. Where do I do that? Where can I start making money off of that?
I'm going to be real honest with you. Whenever I do a TikTok live, someone says show feet. Like, more than one person says show feet, and it is a little bit scary, to be completely honest.
No, to me, that just means there's a market. You know, there is a people that I can sell to. I just don't know how to best sell to them.
That's what OnlyFans is for.
I'll show feet as much as you want if you got money for it.
To my knowledge, I am not on WikiFeet yet.
Oh, man.
So,
that's the day you'll know you made it.
Yeah, no, I definitely made it when, you know, it's like TikTok star, my life is an RPG on WikiFeet. Here are feet pics, you know.
Start putting them out there yourself. You just got to do it.
That's how all the YouTubers knew they made it, when suddenly they showed up on WikiFeet.
Now I have an even more disturbing question for you that will really, I think, it's kind of fucked up, but just hear me out. All right, so you're selling your feet pictures on the internet, right?
Like one does.
Yeah, like one does, you know, make ends meet or whatever. Now, you've also got pictures of you when you're a kid, also where your feet are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Would you legally or morally be okay with selling pictures of your feet as a child on the internet?
I'm uncomfortable.
Would I be okay selling my own kid feet pictures?
Yeah, not your kid, but you as a kid.
Yes, me as a kid selling pictures of my feet, my younger feet.
Right. That's what you're asking. Exactly what I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
You don't have a problem? Me too. I'm not the only one. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I absolutely do not have a problem with that. Like, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. The problem, I can't believe I'm getting into this. Like, what are you making me do? Like, the problem with like with stuff like child pornography is that it hurts children. This is not hurting. This is like, what is this? Hurting me in the past? Like, no, this is me. I know exactly who the fuck this is, you know? Mm. If someone wants to pay me $100 for photos of my feet as a kid, I'd just be like, okay, cool.
Easy $100.
You know, whatever, you know? Don't do anything fucked up to any kids. Like, that's it, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
and I do think it is a stretch to say that someone who wants to see pictures of me as a kid with their feet showing would then immediately go out and abuse a kid, you know? So I'm not willing to make that logical jump. And since I'm not willing to make that logical jump, I have no problem selling those pictures.
It's kind of like, like the hentai with the lolly or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
drawn stuff.
It's like, it feels uncomfortable, but at the same time, if that's giving those people a different out than actually harming a child, you know, fuck it, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. Like, if no one is getting harmed, I don't give a crap what you do. Like, that's my general feeling, you know, in life. You know? You could literally do anything you want as long as you are not harming yourself or anyone else. As long as that's covered, fuck it, go nuts, you know?
Yeah.
But have a three-person jack-off session into a watermelon while skydiving for all I care.
Nice.
You know,
my plans for next week.
Yeah. Yep. First and foremost, do not hurt people. That's it. Like first and foremost, don't hurt people. Second, don't hurt yourself. As long as you got those two down, have a blast.
Yeah.
You
know? I think the counter argument to that is sort of like the same that they had with marijuana, that it's a gateway thing, that, oh, if it's available, then more people are going to be pushed towards that. And I don't know the science on it or any of that.
Yeah, that argument is bullshit too.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't work.
Like as far as I understand, there isn't any credible scientific evidence that says like marijuana actually is a gateway drug.
Right.
You know.
The same thing with like violence in video games. Always killed me because it was like, okay, this video games aren't making kids violent, but kids with problems with violence are going to be attracted to violent video games. There's a difference there.
Yeah. There has never been credible evidence that links video games with creating violent tendencies. Right. Hilariously, though, there has been evidence, I did a TikTok about this, if you are a toxic player online, like if you spout like racial or misogynistic slurs, you also likely suck. Like there is a correlation between being toxic and being bad at games.
So everybody who said they could do my mom growing up.
Yeah, everybody who was acting toxic in that game you're playing, they like mathematically are more likely to suck.
So all of Halo's population.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anybody who picked up Halo, yes.
Literally anyone who has ever played Halo in their lifetime. There are like three nice people who play Halo and they are all playing it professionally.
Oh man. I like how we jumped from that children freak to Halo. I like that. That's a good one.
Well, like that. So here's the funny thing. Everything that I talk about, you know, as dumb as it might be, I usually relate to data in some way. Like I am usually not comfortable saying something without data to back it up. I'm just weird like that, you know.
That's, well, if you're a Star Trek fan, that's fine.
He
was a great character. He had a lot of wisdom. I appreciate that.
But yeah, like if I don't have a study, if I don't have something that I could point to and be like, look, here's the numbers, here's how it was studied, here's, you know, the research method, then like the first thing I think of is I go, I don't know, I'll get back to you, you know. That's why, you know, when I find studies like this, you know, and yeah, I'm a weirdo, I actually like read scientific studies for fun, but like when I find studies like this that are like, oh yeah, all those people who called you names in video games, they suck. Scientifically, they suck. I'm like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I mean, you can go with your science and everything, but I have something better. It's just I pick up the Bible and just point at it and go, like, right. See, this says I'm right.
Yeah, yeah. No. Open the Bible and it's like, huh, John 3:17 says, you suck. Yeah. Huh. All right.
John. Oh, the next page here. It says, I did your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that, right in the Bible.
And yeah. The very next paragraph.
It's weird, but it says it right here. Like, you can't deny that, you know.
This is directly from the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And on the seventh day, the Lord said, get good, noob.
the end of the rapture is just in the sky. GG, easy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just to make sure that we'll make literally everyone angry with this podcast, you know?
Oh, we've made a lot of people angry. We lost like so many viewers or listeners or whatever you want to call it.
Oh yeah. Well, we're still finding our stride, I guess.
I don't know. Everything that you're not supposed to talk about when getting into stuff like, oh, don't talk about politics or religion. Ah, fuck it. Let's go right in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like to hit with the hard, you know, the hard hitting questions, you know, children's feet, chipmunks.
Children's feet and chipmunks.
I mean, I've kind of like formulated my TikTok the same way. Like I'm not afraid to like actually share my opinions on stuff, you know?
Right.
Which is like, here's the funny thing. Usually the shitty thing is that gets conflated with your being an asshole about it. I genuinely don't want to be an asshole. Like, if someone has a different opinion than me, I open up the floor and I'm like, please, you know, give me your data, you know, let me see it, you know, I'll have this conversation with you. That's fine. And sometimes people take me up on it and like, they're really cool people. And I've met really cool people that way. Most of the time they just spout obscenities at me and leave. And you know, that's a win too, you know,
where they can go suck at Halo, right?
Yeah. They can just go off and suck at Halo and everything will be fine.
They rage quit the conversation. That's awesome.
But yeah, like, you know, I tackle some like serious topics and I, you know, tackle it the same way I tackle anything else. But the weird thing is like, if I get into political topics or something like that, that'll be like crickets, right? But then I'll get into like something weird. It's like someone will be like, so do you think we could ever travel the speed of light? And I'll be like, well, according to relativity, we can't. And they're like, you're an asshole. And I'm like, what? What's going on?
You're ruining all my scientific data.
No, that's actually what it's like, because there are a bunch of people out there who like are really attached to this idea that, you know, someday soon we're going to be living in Star Trek, you know?
Right.
And like, you know, I don't want to shit on anyone's cake, you know, like I don't want to like ruin your dreams, but like the thing about science is that it doesn't care about your dreams, you right. know? Like it sure does look like we're not going to be able to travel faster than the speed of light due to that whole, you know, theory of relativity thing that like plays into holding the whole universe together, including gravity and stuff like that.
But wait. What if you get around that because you're in that, you know, the bubble where you're technically not moving faster than the speed of light, but relative to the things around you, you are.
Oh, the Akubieri drive. Yeah, I recently did a video on that. The radiation in that would, in fact, melt you and atomize you bit by bit until you were nothing left but a series of relativistic atoms. Not great.
Yeah, also, doesn't seem like your thing that I can't travel at the speed of light. So,
well, no, I'm saying that an atomized cloud that used to be you might be able to travel faster than the speed of light. Also, it would make for a really great weapon, because anywhere it traveled within a huge radius around it would also be atomized due to the immense amount of radiation being like leaked off of it. So, that's not looking all that great. It also requires exotic matter that we're not sure that we can actually find or that actually exists. And
all the exotic matter you need right here, baby.
And if it does not require exotic matter, like some people have,
then we have Ryan.
Some people have said that we might be able to do it with standard energy, but the calculations have the amount of energy required more energy than exists in the observable universe right now.
So what about teleportation then?
Teleportation, again, you know, like there's nothing that says we can't like disassemble someone and reassemble someone, even though I am telling you right now, that is basically just killing you and making another you.
Right. Nope. Not down for that.
But there's nothing that says we can't do that. But to do that and have you transport somewhere, you still have to send that information, like the information of how to reconstruct you somewhere. And that information still can't travel faster than light.
Whoa. Can it, though? I thought they did a study where information can travel faster than speed of light with quantum entanglement?
No. So here's the problem with quantum entanglement, right? Quantum entanglement doesn't actually work that way. Quantum entanglement is inferred information. It's deduced information. Okay. So here's the example that I used to use, right? Say you have a pair of gloves, right? And you know, because it's a pair of gloves, right? You need to have one right-handed glove and one left-handed glove, right? Mm. You put these two gloves in two boxes, and then you write entangled on the two boxes, right? Mm. And then you ship one of those boxes millions of light years, you know, out of the way. And now millions of years pass, and, you know, like Dax and Ryan the millionth, you know, like your great, 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 infinitely great grandson, you know. Have these boxes separated a million light years apart, right? Mm. And one of them opens up the box and you see that there is a right-handed glove in it. Mm. You know the other box has to have a left-handed glove in it. That there was no information that was being transferred there. It's just you know because the right-handed glove was here what the box is doing a million light years away. That's kind of how entanglement.
So what you're saying is entanglement works.
I'm saying you can infer things. The problem with entanglement is that when you talk about using entanglement as communication, as soon as you take a reading of an entangled particle, it stops being entangled. So you can't like entangle it again to have prolonged communication between two places.
Not you can, with like... that attitude.
And you know, that's exactly what people say. You know, like I do these videos, they ask me things, and I'm like, well, actually, that's not how entanglement works. And we are looking at ways to use quantumly entangled particles to do stuff like quantum computing. But due to the rules of entanglement, we probably can't actually communicate faster than light. And people are like, not with that attitude. And I'm like, this is stuff we knew since the 1960s, guys. Like, you know, I'm not doing anything crazy here.
I saw that episode of Stargate.
Where the
worm guy was in the dude's head, and he said he could do it.
Yeah, that's exactly what people are like. They're like, people recently have been like, well, at one point we said we couldn't fly. And I'm like, did we? Because, like, where are you getting that info? Because as far as I understand, leading up to the Wright brothers' flight, there was a lot of scientists looking into possible aerodynamic applications to try and get human-powered flight. Right. There was one dude who wrote for the New York Times who was not a scientist who said it was going to take 1 million to 10 million years for us to develop flight. But there were tons of scientists in several different countries trying to develop flight at the time that flight was developed. Leonardo da Vinci had plans for flying machines. You know, the ancient Greek myth of Icarus had actually, you know, like had portrayals of Icarus that actually had dimensions of wings that were plausible for flight, you know, not the way that it was, but like as an aerodynamic construct, you right. know.
So people tend to rely on that. Well, at least one person at one point didn't believe that we could do it. So, you know.
Yeah, so obviously everyone all the time thought that we can never do it. And one great man somewhere eventually was like, haha. Proved you wrong, fuckers. Like, that's not how science works.
It feels like...
Excuse me, white man?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. It's always one white dude. One white dude apparently proved the world wrong. Fucking assholes. Like,
I was about to bring up two white guys, too.
It's never fucking how science has worked. Never. Wow. It's never been the case that the whole world was against this one white dude who, you know, proved everybody wrong. You know,
but it would make a great movie.
That's usually what people do. Like, I mean, that's why we get. That's why people believe in the great man myth when it comes to science. You know, because that's how it's always packaged to us. You know, because right. it makes for good drama, but it's not actually how research is done. Like. Wow. Actual research when it comes to making scientific breakthroughs is a bunch of people in a bunch of different labs all looking into some property at the same time. Like, yeah, Einstein got credit for relativity, but many scientists were looking into relativity and like what it meant and what like for the fabric of space-time, you know?
Including Tesla. Tesla was like, I wrote one of those when I was like 3 years old.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Science builds on itself, you know? Like, we have a body of knowledge, and the reason why, you know, people even look into this, like, it's not like Einstein one day turned on a flashlight and was like, huh, this flashlight goes the same speed if I'm walking or running. Like, that's not how shit works.
Right.
Like, Einstein looked at all the scientific knowledge that we had up until that point and said it was plausible that the speed of light was a constant. And that was due to the work of all these other scientists that came before him.
What is that saying? That you create from chaos, not from a void.
Right? Yeah.
So that chaos of all that information out there, and you pick and pull pieces, and then you form something together.
Yeah, because all science is just observation, right? It's like you observe stuff and you take the observation other people have made and you craft basically a hypothesis as to why the observations are this way. And then you test it to make sure that it works that way.
Yeah, like, science is voyeurism.
Voyeurism for the laws of the universe.
Show me your star feet.
Yeah. So yeah, like it's just, I don't know. It's a pet peeve of mine when people are like, oh, this one guy created this one scientific thing and no one else understood what he was doing. And I'm like, that is bullshit. And that's not how science works. And please look the shit up that you're going to say before you say it, because I really don't want to have to keep being like, the whole world didn't say that we would never fly, because why the fuck were people looking into flight if the whole world thought we couldn't fly? You know?
Like, yeah, at that point, didn't they have hot air balloons and other shit?
Yeah,
they were in the air.
There were smaller scale flight simulations. Like before the Wright brothers, we got stuff to fly. We just didn't get, you know, an aircraft with people in it to fly. Like, right. We had the general properties of aerodynamics. So it's not like everyone was like, man's never gonna get into the air. You spunky Wright brothers always trying to do your weird and wild science. Like, you know, like, that's not what it was, you know? Like, of course people thought we were going to be able to have, you know, human-powered aircraft at one point. Several countries in the world, great scientific minds were looking into it all at the same time, and they were working together. That's what science is. It's the whole great man myth is stupid. It's just real stupid. And it's because everyone wants to be a rock star, so they want to believe that the world works via rock stars.
Well, you know, I have the Bible here, and it says the Wright brothers' mom's fat. Yeah, it says it right there.
Thanks for letting me rant, by the way.
Oh, no problem. It's good.
We love it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
That's what our show's about.
Yeah, like, basically, because like, we talk about a whole bunch of random shit often, you know, without any expertise or knowledge or background thought or actual thought on the subject any way, shape, or form. Just kind of vomiting out words, and then right. Go back and kind of see if you can make anything coherent out of it. It's kind of the style that we go for.
Yeah, you know, thought vomit. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so it's very nice to have to barf something out and have you, like, you know, the house dog run up and you're just on top of that and instant.
Oh, yeah, just eating the delicious vomit. I prefer to be thought of as a house raccoon because I love rolling around in the trash. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Nice. But,
keep that noted.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, that's been my life recently.
Rolling around in trash?
Yeah, yeah, rolling around in trash talking about science. That's about all I do.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Really, here's the funny thing. Like, I met you on TikTok, right? But like, most of my TikTok content at this point, it's like, I have 300 drafts and they are all just questions people have asked at this point. Mm. I used to make original content, but now it's just everybody wants to know something, like, and a disturbing amount of them are ways to destroy the world.
Right?
There are so many of them that are like, so could we kill everyone if we reach absolute zero? Could we kill everyone if we reach absolute hot? What if we stop the planet's rotation? What if we sped up the planet's rotation?
What if I divide by zero?
Yeah, like, just so many people are like, what delicious ways can we die today? And I'm like, okay, cool.
I feel like the best answer to that would be just like, just wait. It's happening. Like,
yeah,
it's already happening, guys. You just got to wait this out and you've won.
We're all dying at a rate of 1 second per second.
Yeah, there exactly. You go.
But yeah, no, like, recently I got like 15 comments asking me to talk about, like, the needle moving at a speed of light, whether or not it could destroy the world, set to The Offspring's The Kids Aren't All Right. And like, eventually I just got to a point where it's like, I guess I'm doing this video now.
Oh. Well, how fast would the Jackass guys have to shoot a dildo to atomize the person that they hit?
To atomize a person?
Yeah.
Probably not all that fast. I'd probably say like 95% the speed of light. You need to at least get to the point.
Oh, not that fast.
Well, so here's the thing. When you're talking about relativity, Like, you kind of like judge it by how deep into relativistic forces you're getting. Deep, yeah. You know? Yeah, no, exactly. So the dildo, like at that point, is like just the tip is in relativistic forces at that point. You know, like it's only started to like get relativistic mass via momentum. And so it's like you could say that, you know, it's just it's like relativistic pre-cum, I guess, is the best way that I could say it.
Wait, so does that mean that you would have been, as soon as the tip hits you, you're atomized, so you won't even get to the balls?
Oh, well, if it were moving that fast, mm-hmm. basically the first thing that would happen is that the dildo would flatten out into just like a single plane of relativistic atoms. So, and then as soon as the tip hit you, yes, like before you even got to like mid shaft, you would be ripped apart like atom by atom. Both due to the fact that a ton of kinetic energy would be entering you and a ton of radiation from the relativistic forces would be entering you.
Now I know how all my ex-girlfriends must feel. By mid-shaft already ripping apart. Oh, God. Hashtag humble brag.
Yeah, no, only like something the size of like a planet or like maybe like a small planetoid could get all the way to the balls and survive. But even then, it would be like barely hanging on. Like it would take like a huge chunk out of it just because of
balls
the impact.
Deep in Jupiter.
Yeah, like, oh, Jupiter would be okay. Jupiter is massive, you know, like Jupiter could take it all the way to the balls. But then if you increase that speed, if you increase that speed to like a more substantial relativistic speed, like 99% the speed of light, at that point you're gonna like smash into Jupiter and take like a huge part out of its crust, bore down to its mantle, disturb its atmosphere, fuck it up a lot, you know.
You should make erotic science books, man. Boring down, taking out the atmosphere.
So,
man.
Here's the funny thing, right? I do a lot of writing, you know, like I'm a writer by trade. So I have in the past done writing for porn publications. I've done translation, you know, I've done, you know, editing, stuff like that. I haven't made it a major part of my writing career because, you know, if you get known as the porn guy, it kind of gets hard to do other things in life. So I've definitely done other things more than porn. Like I've done comics and I've done science education and I've done game reviews and stuff like that. But I've worked at porn on porn in the past, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it, you know. And yeah, like that unfortunately kind of puts a negative stigma on you, you know, especially when you're trying to get jobs in like professional circumstances. But just because I have done like work for porn before, like it's editing work, it's just copy editing work like you'd do anything else, you know. Right. It's just that there happens to be dicks in it, you know.
Those same guys are going to the company bathroom glory hole and doing
like they're all fucking like judging you, but like if you're able to do a good job editing porn, it just shows that you have good editing skills, you know.
Right.
And lots of focus. Like, you shouldn't be ashamed of shit like that. And I feel really bad because, like, I know other people who also worked in porn, you know, like friends of mine, people who I knew in the industry who, like, they fall on hard times and it's like porn readily, you know, like ends up hiring and they pay very well, like very, very well, you know. And it's like, what am I going to do? Just not take the job, you know? Like you said before, like no one wants to work, but you got to work to make money. And when you're put into a certain situation, sometimes that's all you could do. And these are good writers, you know, and like they kind of have to act like that part of their life doesn't exist. And it kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah, erotic writing is fucking fantastic. Like, fucking go for it. This shit is amazing.
Oh yeah. That's why a lot of people use like pen names. But like it's harder when you're doing editing, you know. Because like if you're a writer and you're writing porn, you could just make up a name and publish it under that, you know. But like if you're an editor and you're editing porn and you want any like clout as an editor whatsoever, you have to attach your name to that. It's really hard to edit under a pen name, you know.
Well, my porn pin name would definitely be Hard Edit.
Hard
That would be it.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's good. You know, Ryan here, a sweetheart as he is, just not half the brain on him. So it's good to have a science man on here.
Exactly. Gotcha.
I will say, Dax,
yeah?
to attack the intelligence of the man who has the editing power, not very smart.
I know you're not going to figure that out, so it's okay.
Okay, at this point, Ryan, at this point, you need to make him say something stupid by cutting up stuff he has said over the course of the episode.
No, I'm pretty good with that. I just have to edit his regular stuff in it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No, it needs to be obvious. That's the joke. It needs to be really obvious that you cut it up. That's the whole joke, man.
God. Yeah, I just try to think back of all the things I've said in this episode and past episodes. And it's just like, oh, I feel like I'm on a watch list somewhere now.
Oh, I know I am.
Speaking of watch lists, I have gotten pulled over so many times when I've tried to fly because I've brought like an arcade stick with me.
Jesus.
There's this like great story that I like to tell. Where like I was scared out of my mind because I just do not like authority. Like I have had bad run-ins with the cops, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm at the airport. I'm going to Evo, you know, the big fighting game Olympics that's held every year in Vegas, right? I have my suitcase and my arcade stick in my suitcase, and you know, I build my own arcade sticks. So like on the outside they look nice, but on the inside it's all like duct tape and wires and crap. You know, so that goes through the scanner and they pull me over and they're like, son, what's this? And I'm like, it's a game controller. And they're like, looks like it's held together with tape. And I'm like, yeah, because I made it. And they're like, couldn't you just buy one? I'm like, yes, I could buy one. But instead, I decided to make it because it's kind of like a hobby. And they're like, that seems like a weird hobby. I'm like, okay.
Could this very judged?
Yeah. And then they go. Could this be used to blow up a USB explosive device? And I'm like, fucking what? Like, and my brain at this point is like, oh no, the pedantic like guy in me wants to go, well, yes, because any explosive device could be triggered as long as you complete a circuit. And that's basically what a controller is, you know? So technically it could, but like every other part of my brain is like, you idiot, say no, just say no, just say no. That's all you have to do is say no. So I'm like, no. And like, and they eventually
sweat pouring down.
Yeah. Like trembling in my seat, you know? Like all of them giving me like the stink eye, like what is this guy? What
because
the hell
now, is yeah, you now know? They like, oh, he's lying, but yeah. They don't know what you're lying about.
Yeah, and like I shit like that happens all the time when I'm bringing one of my custom controllers like with me through the airport. And it's weird. It's like TSA always tries to get you in this gotcha moment, you know, where it's like, haha, obviously this is a bomb. I'm like, why would it be a bomb? Why would I lie about this? It has like, there's literally a joystick on it. Like I'm walking in here with a fucking Street Fighter 3 t-shirt on, you know, like I obviously look like the nerdiest person out there. Like, what do you think? I'm like trying to blow up a plane with my custom control stick because it's all part of the long game. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Same thing fucking happened once when I was bringing a bunch of dice onto the plane, you know, where I just had my dice bag because, you know, I play tabletop role-playing games and I have a ton of dice, you know, like I have a ton of dice. A lot of them are metal, you know, like the cop was like, hey, son, what is this, a weapon? And I'm like, what? No, those are dice. He's like, I've never seen dice like this before. And I'm like, the role-playing dice. He's like, is that a kink thing? And I'm like, oh, fucking God. Like,
well, go ahead and roll the dice and find out.
Yeah. Yeah, so it never never really works out great when I'm traveling. But yeah, so I don't like cops. Like, let's just put it that way. I've never had good interactions with cops.
I was one and I don't like them.
I mean, that makes sense. Like,
God.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be a part of any club that would have me, you know?
That is a good point. Yeah, so you're big into D&D, right?
Well, yeah, D&D and other role-playing games in general. Like, I run a bunch of different systems, but, you know, obviously D&D is the most popular one.
Right. When did you get your start? I'm 3.5 or older editions?
Advanced Dungeons and Dragons in high school, second edition.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Back when FACO was a thing.
Oh. Wait, was that, before or after that they banned hobbits?
Oh, that was, I mean, depending on what you mean by ban, that was back when they split race and class into two different things. Back in D&D 1, there was no such thing as race and class. You were just a fighter, a thief, a wizard, or a hobbit, or an elf, or a dwarf. You know, it was all the same thing. Mm. And so post D&D 1, you know, now suddenly they're halflings, and now you have to have a race and a class.
With the hobbit thing, like, they used hobbit back in the original, I believe, and they got their asses sued off.
Technically, it was the alpha. The first print run already had halfling in it.
Oh, but really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there. But no, like, it originally was. I mean, it's unabashedly Tolkien, you know?
No, of course. Because the great white male set the fantasy world.
Yeah, he obviously created dwarfs, guys. Meanwhile, like, all of Norse mythology is like, hey.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh,
but yeah, do love Tolkien. Like, I can't fault the guy, but yeah.
I'm a big fantasy fan, right? And like most of the fantasy stuff, you know, like, I absolutely love, I adore. But there's definitely some, like, spots that I don't agree with people on. Like, I'll just come out and say it. I don't think Game of Thrones was all that good.
Well, are you talking about the last bit or the whole bit?
I'm talking about the whole bit. Like, I mean, the problem is it had one gimmick. And that was my problem with it. Like, the very first season, the very first book, it was like, oh my god, this character that you wanted to see, you know, prosper, ends up randomly getting killed because life is cruel. That's such a great twist. What comes next? And then it's just that same shit for every book and every season over and over again. It was a one-trick pony. And I feel like, I get that a lot of people are like, you know, oh, that's so deep. But, like, I've read other fantasy novels that did the same thing and also had, like, better world building and better character arcs and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just do not think Game of Thrones, I don't think that the whole Song of Ice and Fire is all that great, to be completely honest.
Oh, cool, cool. All that deep stuff. Jon Snow, smash or pass?
Yeah, no, absolutely smash. Are you kidding me? Absolutely smash.
Well, that's all we have to worry about then.
I mean, to be completely honest, most of the characters in Song of Ice and Fire get a smash from me. Like, most of them.
Dinkle?
Dinkle?
Yeah, the Dinkle.
Oh, I think he's talking about Peter Dinklage's character.
Oh, absolutely smash. Are you kidding? Tyrion? Yeah. Holy shit. Probably at the top of my smash list. Like.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Tyrion Lannister was pretty beastly.
Dude, yeah, no, like first of all, he knows how to have a great time. He has, like, he throws magnificent parties. He knows probably more politically and scientifically than anyone else in the land, you know. He's a connoisseur of brothels, you know, so he'll obviously show you a good time. And just anybody who he's ever fucked always ended up with, like, some major political position of power. There's no reason not to fuck Tyrion. No reason whatsoever.
Okay, fine. Hordor?
Oh, yeah, sure. Smash.
Hodor?
Yeah, smash.
God, the dragon?
Oh, definitely smash. All three of them, including the one that became a zombie.
Before and after?
Before and after.
What about, oh my god, I forget his name. The spider. That's what they called him. Varys, was that his name?
Oh, the first, wait, are you talking about the first Targaryen?
No. He was the guy who always walked around in like white robes, bald.
Oh, the eunuch. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Smash.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, he's connected to everything. 100% smash.
Okay. What about one of the White Walkers when they look like a raisiny butthole?
So that like any random NPC White Walker probably like
no the dude that threw the javelin that killed the dragon.
Oh, like God, what was his name?
The Night
like
King.
The Night King. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely smash. 100%. Yeah. Random NPC White Walker though, pass. Okay. But the Night King, definitely smash.
Ooh, what about the Mountain?
Oh yeah, smash. Pre and post
Thor Bjornsson.
Okay, so
monster.
What I'm getting from this is in Game of Thrones, fuck the story and fuck the characters.
Yes, obviously. Well, here's the thing. That's the thing. Smashing any of these characters would make a fantastic story.
True.
Like a lot of times when you're saying smash or pass like this, mm-hmm. The big question for me is like, are you gonna come home with something to talk about? You know? And almost 100% of the time in Game of Thrones, the answer is yes.
Yeah, that's true. You might be coming home with a little extra, but I don't know if hygiene is a big thing out there. But
yeah, yeah, but well, at this point, I'm already in the Game of Thrones universe. I'm gonna die anyway.
Ah, sure. Let's go out with the anyway, thing. So
yeah, what do you think? I'm surviving to the end of Game of Thrones? Of course not.
Oh, and then, yeah, we were talking about Lord of the Rings, but we completely skipped over the Ring of Power, the Amazon series, and all the hoo-ha going over that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure it's ever going to get made, I'll be completely honest.
I thought they've already it's coming out, right?
Is it? Like, hold on.
Yeah, Ring of Power, because they came out with a bunch of trailers and pictures and shit like that.
Let's see. Does it have it has a tentative premiere date of September 2nd this year.
Yeah,
I'm still not sure I believe it.
Wait, so you haven't heard the whole shitstorm over like the shit that they released?
No, I really haven't. What happened?
Well, because they released the poster of the different characters in it and everything. Mm-hmm. And
wait, is this about the Black Dwarf?
Yeah, Black Dwarf, and also the shaved head elf. I think who was also black, I don't remember.
I'm going to tell you right now. So I was familiar with this. I'm going to tell you right now. I have zero problems with the dwarf being black. I do have a problem with the dwarf not having a beard. Tolkien made it very clear that dwarf men and women both had beards. And the fact that that is not a thing makes me feel like, you know, people are just too afraid of genderqueer shit to give me a bearded female dwarf. And that is bullshit.
Because they had a bearded female dwarf in The Hobbit.
In The Hobbit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it was funny, it was okay to have the dwarf have a beard. But now as soon as the character's serious, the dwarf can't have a beard. What the fuck? Like, genuine what the fuck? Also, I'm going to be completely honest right now. There's nothing wrong with a black elf either. Like, the way that Tolkien described elves was that their skin color, you know, was either extremely light or extremely dark. You know, so at this point, you're already not getting it correct because, like, it needs to either look black as night or pale, like translucent. Yep. You know, so whatever. Let the black guy play an elf. It's great. You know,
I think the most of the elves were described as actually having very black hair, and I think only a few of the higher elves had that like silvery hair.
Yeah,
and then in the Lord of the Rings trilogies and everything, all the elves are blonde. I think the thing that gets me though with him is him having short hair.
Mm.
I thought like elves, but it might play into his character. But I felt elves really had a lot of symbology with hair.
Like, no, that's true. Elves generally have long hair, but it's also like the way that I kind of look at it at this point is like, who cares? They're already not exactly like they're shown in the books, you know. Right. Like, sure, we can make it more like the books, but also if, you know, there is a visibly black elf that has a visibly black hairstyle, Mm-hmm. I just say more power to him at that point. You know,
part of me is torn there because, like, on the sense of just watching the show and everything, and mm-hmm. Just enjoying whatever Lord of the Rings is fine. But then that other part of me who, like, I want some sense of world building.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes more difficult with the world building because humans and dwarves and elves fucking hate each other and they fight mm-hmm. and they're super racist to each other. But then all of a sudden you add in, black or, could be Asian or any other of these ethnicities in there. And all of a sudden, they don't mention it at all.
They've already fucked. Like, that's the thing. They've already fucked the world building. Like, it's already not accurate to the books, So, like, at that point, I'm just sort of like, who the fuck cares? If you just get, if this just gives more black actors, a chance to have prominent roles and allows those prominent roles to be, inspiring to black people, I feel like that's only a good, Okay. And that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be addressed, right? Because, in our world, there's, black, and Asian and, different races like that. But, in Tolkien, it could just be a different looking human, a different looking elf. Why does there have to be yet another ethnicity tied onto it, We're already in a fucking world where, fucking trees talk and there's, bear shapeshifters and Tom Bombadil. I haven't forgotten Tom Bombadil,
So... No one has forgotten Tom Bombadil. Because let's say you have the super redneck looking fucking dwarf and everything, Cletus, and then mm-hmm. you've got his black friend, and they're together and God, I hate those pointy eared stupid fucks with their pointy ears, and they look so different from us. It takes me out of it a little bit because I was like, wait, where should you address that a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just they just care about other things, Maybe they care more about magic lineage and pointy ears rather than the color of your skin. Because the color of your skin is as arbitrary as anything else.
That's absolutely true.
So if that's totally arbitrary, all you have to do is imagine a world where something else equally stupid and arbitrary was something that everyone hated each other about, Right. And that's just kind of where I come at it, It's already racism is already fucking stupid, So if you're going to end up making people act racist over something else other than skin color, it's just as stupid as arbitrary as any other racism, in my opinion.
Okay. Fair enough.
If elves and dwarves hate each other, it's like, okay, you guys are being stupid and racist over something stupid and racist,
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what we do best as humans.
Yeah. Right? As people. I guess it's like this. It would play at a D&D table, and that's basically what people are doing, right? If someone decides to play a dark-skinned character in a D&D campaign, you're not like, oh, well, you guys have to address that you're dark skin and the other one's light skin. It's like, well, no, of course you don't fucking do that. That would be such a dumb thing.
You gotta be careful. I don't know if you watched the show Community at all.
Mm-hmm.
They banned or edited out the D&D scene with, what's his name? Dr. Ken.
Ken Jeong. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be completely honest. I have been rewatching Community recently. That was a full half of an episode with him in black ass blackface.
He was playing an elf. He was playing.
Yeah, but the joke was they kept referencing it as blackface. That's the thing. The other characters referenced it as blackface and as a hate crime.
He wasn't actually playing a black character. He was playing a character in blackface.
Yeah. So
that's a little rough.
So that's the thing. The characters mentioned that, and you could make the argument otherwise, but the joke was that it was blackface. And since the joke was that it was blackface, that's why they were eventually like, maybe we shouldn't be making jokes about blackface, you know?
Gotcha.
And then it got, you know, it got taken down. But also it's one of those things, like, it didn't really get taken down because, like, you can't get it via Netflix, but you could still buy it on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Daily for motion. An extra $2, you know? Or, you know, obtain it through wholly legal torrent means.
Holy legal.
Holy legal means, yeah.
God, I'm so glad those are coming back now that the rise of all these different fucking streaming services. Back to the Pirate Bay.
Anyway, I gotta get going, but thank you so much for having me on, though.
No problem. Thank you for sharing your opinions and talking about things. And
this was genuinely fun. I hope I wasn't too loud and dumb for you guys.
No.
It was amazing.
Yeah, by all means.
We loved having you here.
Cool. Yeah. If you ever want to come back, just let us know.
Yeah, just let me know whenever you have an open spot.
All right. Well, then, bye. Love you. Bye.
Yeah, catch you later. Bye.